God's word for our meditation is recorded in the Apostle Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, the fifth chapter. We read verses 14 and 15, a portion of our second lesson for our worship today. Paul writes about Christ's love for us and our response to his love. Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Let us pray. Dear Lord, may our study of your word and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our living redeemer. Amen. Your fellow believers in Jesus, who are grateful for his love. Why do people in the military service risk their lives in battle and in warfare? They are compelled by a sense of duty and honor to their country and to protect the citizens of the country. Why does a CEO executive of a large corporation out east leave his position to go and run a cattle ranch in the Great Plains? He is compelled by a love of the outdoors and a love for ranching. Why do those who enjoy outdoor sports continue to, such as ice fishing or cross-country skiing or snowshoeing, continue to do their activities in the coldest, windiest, snowiest weather? They're compelled by a love for their sport. But now let's bring it a little closer to home. Why do believers in Jesus Christ continue to do what they do? Why do you spend time for service in your congregation here at Trinity Lutheran Church? Why do you bring your families regularly to worship in the house of the Lord? Why do you give a portion of the income that God gives you in the first place as a thank offering to the Lord? But Paul has an answer to that question in our lesson of study for this morning. He says, quite simply, Christ's love compels us. Under the direction of God's word, may the Holy Spirit direct our minds and hearts to learn this morning that we live thankful lives for Christ's love to us. Living because Christ died for us, and living in gratitude for him who died and was raised again. But let's consider our situation before this living faith that God has granted to us. When we were born in sin. Sin we inherited from sinful parents. King David writes in Psalm 51, "For I was born in sin, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And that sin, inherited sin, left us with a dreadful consequence, the consequence of death. Physical and eternal death. And there was no man-made solution to help us escape from this fate. The only future that we faced with this sin and consequence of death was the darkness of eternal death in hell. The Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. But now, God has provided a solution to that dilemma in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, in his love, left his eternal throne and came to our world as the God-man, true God and true man, to be our substitute, to live perfectly in our place under God's law, fulfilling all his commands without sin, completely innocent. And then as our substitute, in our place, he suffered a curse, the curse of death on the cross. But this love of Christ that the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian Christians about is more than just compassion. It's more than just sympathy for people who are helpless in sin. It is grace, undeserved love and favor. Christ loved simply for the fact of loving those who were by nature unlovable. Christ didn't deserve the agony and suffering that we contemplate on in this Lent season. He did not deserve the death that he died, but by his death, he gives to us life. That is the love of Christ. The Apostle John writes of that love when he writes, "Greater love has no one than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends." And so that is our situation because of Christ's love. We have life. Paul writes these words again. We are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all. This is the wonderful truth of what we call in teaching objective or universal justification. Christ died for every soul in the world, so God the Father forgives all people for the sake of Jesus' death on the cross. When Christ died, all died. When he was punished for everyone's sins, all the sins of the world. And now God offers this free gift of life through the love and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says we are convinced. That's how this free gift of life becomes our own, through the convincing of faith, a free gift of God. How does God give faith? When the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to trust that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Given to many of us at the sacrament of baptism, when we are washed of our sins and given new life in Christ Jesus, he renews that faith, that conviction and convincing through the word of God that we hear, the gospel, as we heard in the children's message a moment ago. That good news that Jesus lived, died, and rose again for us. And he convinces us and gives us life through the sacrament of the Lord's table, Holy Communion, as he renews in us again that living faith through Jesus' body and blood, in, with, and under the bread and the wine. So we have a new life in Christ Jesus, living in thankfulness. But a person can have physical life and still have a dead soul if the message of Christ's love for the world has not touched their heart. A person can have physical life and yet a dead soul if the message of Jesus Christ and what he accomplished there for the world does not turn their hearts from unbelief to a living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by God's grace, he has given us that convincing faith and trust that Jesus has done this for us and for the world. A faith that is kept alive for the present. A faith that is nurtured and preserved through the word of God that we hear, that we meditate on, and that we study. A faith that is kept alive for the future as we look forward to living forever with our Savior in the glory of heaven. But now, what does this living in thankfulness have to do with stewardship? Well, our lives would have no motivation to live for Christ were it not for his love for us, evidenced in his death and resurrection. But now, because of Christ's love for us, as Paul writes, Christ's love compels us, we live thankfully to the Lord Jesus Christ, managing our lives to his glory and with thankfulness. Thank your Lord that he has given you a living faith because of Jesus' death. But you may be thinking, well, that's all fine. I have a faith that is alive because of Jesus' death. But is there no more response? Listen again. Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all. Christ's love compels us. Think about the direction of your life without the Lord Jesus Christ. What direction would it take? Most likely that direction would be back towards yourself, as Paul writes in earlier verses, as we had in our lesson of a moment ago. You would direct your time and your energies for your own pleasures, for your own successes. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, you would direct your own abilities and treasures for your own personal kingdom. The old Adam and sinful nature inside of us, our sinful mind, would say, without Jesus' love, you have no one to live for except yourselves. And many of the people of the world live just that way. But by God's grace and through Christ's love, you are different. Paul writes in his first letter to the Corinthians, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we have a new direction. No longer do we live for ourselves, but we live for the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. He died and he rose again. Paul uses such a beautiful word when he uses the word compels. It literally means constrains, compresses. It moves us in a direction to the Lord Jesus Christ. In this life that we live, this side of heaven, we have a warfare of an old Adam, a sinful nature, against the living new man of faith. And sometimes that sinful nature gets the upper hand and wants us to be a little bit sluggish, a little bit lazy, not to be moved and compelled to live in thankfulness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the law of God in the scriptures only drives us with its message of do and be cursed. It only drives us to guilt and shame and frustration about our sins. But it is the law that also then drives us to seek a rescue from those sins and guilt and shame. And the Holy Spirit then leads us to the good news of Christ who died and who rose again. That's what compels us. We can never repay Jesus by dying a death for our sins. No payment is ever enough for a human being. We can never bring our bodies from death to life again by ourselves. Only Jesus has done that for us. And so we take on the motto that the Apostle Paul used in his ministry. The life that I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But now let's apply that love of Christ to our Christian living in thankfulness and in gratitude. Allow me to clear up one misconception. The term stewardship is not exclusively about money. The word stewardship really means management. It is managing every aspect of our Christian life to the glory of God and in thankfulness to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we live, we are compelled to live in thankfulness to Jesus who first loved us by managing the gift of time, taking time in service to our families, to our spouse, to our grandchildren and children, taking time for service in your congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church. Living thankfully for Christ Jesus means that we use the unique abilities and talents that God has given to each of us in this body of Christ to build up that body of Christ, all to the glory of God. Living thankful lives to the Lord Jesus Christ who loved us means that we dedicate a portion of the gift of income that God gives to us as a thank offering to our Lord and Savior for what he has immeasurably done for us and for the world. To carry on that good news ministry here at Trinity Lutheran Church for the strengthening of your faith, for the sharing of that good news in your community and area, and for the work that we do together worldwide in mission work through the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Paul writes some beautiful words when he says, Christ died for all. His saving work is for the world. Why do you do the things that you do as a believer in Jesus Christ? Paul has the answer for that in our word for this morning. Christ, love compels us. Continue to live thankful lives in love for Him who died for you and was raised again. Amen.